Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Start the week out by rolling out the Monday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head over to sportstimeradio.com. The blogs go up over there on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so make sure you're keeping up with what's going on there. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you can hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you're over there, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
All right, Dan, so we got our last couple, I guess what you would call big-name Major League free agents off the board. Carlos Correa ends up in Minnesota on a two-year deal. And then just yesterday it was announced that Trevor Story does end up with the Boston Red Sox. I'm trying to remember, let me see if I can get the numbers, but I thought he got 4 years, or was it 6 years? Yeah, he got 6 years and $140 million. So what do you like? What don't you like? What do you think? All that other fun stuff that goes in with these signings.
I'm probably one of, I don't know if I'm one of the few or in some kind of percentage group that, while I understand the way baseball is and the deal, I don't particularly care for it because I don't know. I just, for me, I feel like this, oh, the Trevor Story. So, you know, when you translate it, it probably works out for the best. You know, Colorado's that place where the ball just launches out of the park. But at the same token, playing in Boston, he's got a great opportunity to drive out some home runs. But at the same time, I feel like he's one of those injury-prone guys, and I've never really seen this breakout of becoming, quote-unquote, superstar. You know, I just feel like in, I don't know, let's just say 15 years, you know, will he make it past, will he, you know, get kicked off the ballot, so to speak, because he didn't get enough votes? So that's where I'm torn with it. You know, and I know there's a lot of people who are, where the hell is Xander going to play? And I think Boston will be able to shuffle around their infield. I just wonder how many games he's actually going to be able to play for them. But, I could be wrong.
They actually list Bogarts as the shortstop, and they have Story as the one who gets bumped to second base. I thought it was going to be the other way around.
Now, I mean, who's, you know, and one thing we don't ever talk about really anymore is defense. So, I mean, when you're looking at it, who is the better defensive player? I mean, personally, I would think it would be Xander. I think Xander would have a better range than Trevor Story would.
Yeah, it's interesting. For some reason, I was under the impression Story was a Gold Glove winner. And I don't think Bogarts was, but I know those awards aren't always given out on what you would call the up and up, and they sometimes end up going to the better offensive players.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, it, you know, or maybe Xander is the Gold Glove winner because Story doesn't have one listed here. Let's see. Yeah, Story made 14 errors and had a fielding percentage of 975 last year. So that, you know, that's not too bad as far as the short stuff going. He managed to stay healthy last year. He played in 142 games, so that's really good for him.
Okay. Yeah.
Let's see how it compares to what Xander's defensive numbers were. And, you know, and obviously they can always, you know, the Red Sox can always flip this. And Bogaerts played in 144 games, so he was really healthy as well. He only made 9 errors and had a fielding percentage of .983. So he is a little better defender.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's one of those where it's hard to, you know, really compare them because you're still looking at two guys that are pretty solid at the defensive portion of the game. But, you know, I just felt like Xander had a little bit more range. And not only that, he knows – I know that the diamonds are all the same technically, but I think he would have a better feel of that ground, you know. And
yeah, you got to figure it helps that it's his park, so.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, this man has been playing that position since 2013.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think you'd bring someone in and just kick him out like the Cubs would do. Wait, did I say that out loud?
Yeah. So now are you buying them now as legitimate contenders in the East?
I think they were always I don't know, I think that's one of those where I would not consider them a contender until, you know, the season takes off and we're past the deadline and they haven't done jack squat. So I think their pitching could use some improvement, but I think this definitely secures a spot. You know, it's just how are the Yankees and the Rays going to turn up, you know, and then you've got Toronto just right on your tail.
Yeah. You know, and obviously they're going to have a pretty potent offense. Or at least they should, you know, as long as everybody produces like they're expected to produce, you know, they'll be really good offensively. I have a lot of pitching questions, especially with Chris Sale hurt to start the year.
Mm-hmm. And do they still have J.D. Martinez?
Yeah, he's in what I believe it might be. It might finally be the last year of his contract, or he might have 2 years left. Let me I can check that real quick. Yeah, he's in the last year of his deal. So,
you know, because I think that was one of the ones where I didn't understand, you know, and I didn't really look into it. I forgot about how long JD's contract was for, but I was kind of surprised they didn't bring back Schwarber. But obviously, that makes sense.
Yeah, you know, you didn't, you know, unless you were going to try to plug him in at first base again.
Yeah.
Which, you know, at least would have had spring training to work at it. So.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that. You know, it probably worked out better for Kyle to end up in, you know, Philadelphia, where he can DH pretty much every day and then, you know, fill in the outfield when, you know, whichever guy needs a day off, with the exception of center, obviously.
Yeah. And what was the other thing?
Yeah, and then,
did you bring up the Freddie Freeman deal?
No, I brought up the Carlos Correa deal, who got 2 years from the Twins.
Oh, that's right.
But opted out after this one.
I thought it was 3 years.
I believe it's two. Again, I can double check that really quickly because I happen to be on the right page. Actually, that is 3 years, but he can opt out after either of the first two.
Yeah. That was an interesting deal. I think a lot of people, there were some that thought he got shorted, but I'm like, $35 million a year.
He plays the contract, he'll go back on the market at 30. So it's not like he's going to be old.
No, and that's where I was going to, that's what I was going to ask you. I mean, you know, someone, I forgot what the term they used was, but they weren't excited about this deal because they felt like something fishy was going on because, you know, he didn't get a 7-year, $3 billion contract or whatever they were expecting. So, when I look at the numbers, the fact that he has, well, there's a limited no-trade clause this year, which is interesting. So, you know, I think he's really kind of his agent being smart in the fact that the Twins can either go to the top or they can go bust. And if they go bust by the break, I think his agent will, you know, be talking to the team to maybe getting him out of there. But, you know, I think this is the perfect player deal. It's a lot of money, $35.1 million, which the $100,000 I thought was kind of funny to add on. You know, it's like a Price is Right deal. But the fact that he has opt-outs after 23 and 24, I think that's just – this is a player's contract. And I'd prefer to see something like this given to 27-year-old as opposed to the – you know, the Tatis deal that was given. I think it's great to kind of keep that in mind, the 10-year, but it's still a big commitment, and it's kind of scary. And then I also think about the fact that a lot of the teams that sign these long-ass deals do it and structure it in a way where it's more affordable in the end if they want to trade them. So I don't know. I feel like if you're going into that commitment, you go into it thinking you're going to keep that guy. You know, not just playing the numbers game, which I get both sides, but, you know, it is what it is. So I don't know what's so fishy about this, but, you know, as long as he stays healthy, he's going to turn out making a ton of money on his next contract.
Yeah, you know, I mean, imagine if he goes to Minnesota and puts up 3 good years and hits the market again, maybe he gets over 40, and that may have been something they were thinking when he signed, you know, when he was looking for his deal. So, you know, I mean, while it would have been great to get that 6 or 7 year deal, I think he got a better average value per year than like Baez or Story or Chris Bryan.
Yeah.
So, you know, who wins in the end? He gets, you know, more money up front, and then he can go back on the market as a 30-year-old.
And he's going to sign again, unless, you know, he does something really stupid.
Right. I mean, barring a serious injury, I mean, we're looking at a guy who's going to get another payday. You know, and maybe, you know, it probably will be, you know, well, then again, it could still be 6 years somewhere. You know, and he could play at least 30 or 37. But, yeah, are you surprised he didn't end up back in Houston? Because that's where all the fingers were pointing. And then all of a sudden he signed with Minnesota.
Yeah, I think the most exciting thing for Houston is the fact that the Washingtons have Dusty Baker's kid in their system, and he handed out lineup to his dad the other day.
Yeah, they did that yesterday or 2 days ago. I don't remember. You know, every report they had coming out had, oh, yeah, he's in talks with Houston. It looks like he's going back. You know, he's going to land back with the Astros. That'll make them, you know, not that they're still not contenders, but obviously, you know, Correa is a better player at this point than Jeremy Pena, who looks like he's going to be the everyday shortstop now. So, it was just weird that, you know, because all, you know, these guys are in and they know, you know, what's going on in the inside workings. And, you know, 1 minute he was signing with the Astros and then the report came out that he's a Twin. So
it's kind of a surprise.
You know, yeah, how they look at it, or what they saw that didn't work.
Now, when you say that, though, on which end? Was he seeing something that just didn't work in Houston, or, you know, because you've got to wonder, like, why did he choose Minnesota? I know you brought them up last week. I forgot what we were talking about, but, you know, it's just interesting because I don't think you brought them up so much as when we were talking about the AL Central. You're like, well, what about the Twins? And I want to be like, well, Chuck Knoblauch and that other guy aren't there anymore. Bad 90s reference. Kirby Puckett. Kirby Puckett.
Yeah, no, you know, they've made a lot of, you know, a lot of moves. You know, it's interesting to see how it's going to play out and how it works out. And obviously, you know, getting rid of the Josh Donaldson salary allowed them to do this. You know, otherwise I doubt they made this move.
No.
You know, but yeah, they're another team that looks like, you know, they're set up to have a really potent offense. I mean, besides Correa, obviously the big key will be, can Byron Buxton stay healthy? Because that never seems to happen. But, you know, they're another team with some weak pitching. So it'll be one of those, hey, you know, and they did just lose another starter over the weekend, Randy Dobnik, who I know they were counting on, you know, to be a top-of-the-rotation guy, is out with a strained finger, and they don't know how long it's going to take him to recover. So, you know, they end up short another guy. I mean, they added Sonny Gray, which is nice, but he has some injury issues. They picked up your guy Dylan Bundy, but we know he was terrible last year. So you don't know what you're going to get, and then it's, you know, three younger guys that they're counting on. So I don't know about, you know, again, I don't know about pitching. That seems to be the big thing with just about everybody.
Well, and do you think, and I'm just going to pick on the Rays because it, you know, more or less started there. Or, you know, even the Royals with their World Series combination, having your pitcher go 1-6, shutting them down. But, you know, the biggest difference back then was they had a 7, they had an 8, and they had a 9 that just shut you down. Do you think that whole philosophy and this whole everybody's got to throw 100 to 110 miles an hour is actually diminishing the pitching pool for starting pitchers?
Yeah, it kills starting pitching, you know. I mean, it still baffles me that, you know, the rule is you can't go a third time through the order. You know, to me, if you don't have a pitcher who can go a third time through the order, you don't have a good pitcher. You're saying more about your pitcher than you are about anything else.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just stupid rules these guys come up with, you know, through sabermetrics. So, you know, it's like, if a guy's rolling and he hasn't overextended himself, you know, there's no reason you can't go through a lineup a third time. I mean, we saw a couple no-hitters last year. Obviously, they went through the lineup a third time and got them out. So it's just, it's ridiculous that they can't figure this out.
I mean, I watched Johnny Cueto go into the 10th inning. And, I mean, lose the game by 1 point, but that's starting off a fourth time in the lineup. And in that fourth time in the lineup, you're still going against the top of the lineup. If not, you know, I think he had a no-hitter going, and they didn't give it to him because whatever. He didn't complete the game, and I just, you know, I thought the rules were 9 innings, it's a no-hitter, but, you know, I get it. But, yeah, it was pretty interesting that he could do that, start off and going through a fourth time around. But, yeah, today you're not allowed to – you're only allowed to pitch to a guy twice. I mean, what are the odds that, you know, if you have Chris Bryant playing in third base and you've got a lot of heavy-handed, right-handed hitters putting a lot of work there, and then there's a switch, and he gets sent to the outfield. Now he's running around. I mean, exhaustion plays on both ends, so why would you still be afraid of Chris Bryant, quote-unquote, coming into his third at-bat where he's been worked as well? So, you know, his eye-hand coordination might not be exactly the same as it was in inning one. You know, I mean, because if you want to break it down to the finer details, can we go that deep? That's stupid.
Yeah, well, you know, and that's, you know, that's what they do now. You know, they put all this stuff together, and, you know, it shows that a pitcher gets hit more the third time through the lineup. So how do you avoid it? Well, you take him out before he gets to that third time. So, you know, it's like, oh, great. That's just wonderful. So, you know, and then when you get to the end of the season and your bullpen can't get anybody out because they've been overextended, nobody can figure out why. So.
Bullpen, that's why they wanted 30-man roster.
Yeah. Well, you know, they need it now with, you know, the way they use those guys. You know, and I believe they, you know, they changed some of the call-up rules, so that may be kind of interesting as well to see how that plays out. So, but yeah, and then I did see that Jorge Soler finally got a landing spot. He got 3 years and $36 million from the Marlins. You got to wonder if he'll actually be a Marlin for the entire terms of that contract. I kind of doubt it, but at least he found a landing spot, right?
Yeah, I was kind of surprised by that nobody else took a look at a guy who, in the day of home runs, give you 40 home runs.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird, isn't it, that for whatever reason – he doesn't seem to get the respect the other home run hitters do, and I'm just not sure why. You know, I mean, we're talking about a guy who hit 48 playing the majority of his games in Royal Stadium. What was that, 3 years ago? Or, yeah, well, yeah, 2019. You know, and I know he's had some injury issues, but he managed to hit 27 last year between Atlanta and Kansas City. You know, and he did pretty well in the World Series, considering they gave him the MVP. So you would think he would have, you know, been a little more popular, especially with the universal DH. But, yeah, I mean, he hung out on the, you know, hung out for a long time, and the only landing spot you get is Miami? So I don't, you know, who knows? I guess, you know, I guess, like I said, I guess we'll see. I mean, do you see him playing all three of those years in Miami? Do you think he hangs around there that long?
Sorry about that. Did I lose you? Hello? Are you still there, Big Jack? Testing, 1, 2, 3. Well, Big Jack disappeared, so we're waiting to get him back. But, you know, one of the things we try to discuss, and since he disappeared for a few minutes, wanted to get into NASCAR's race yesterday. I didn't get to complete it. I think it was an exciting races for everybody yesterday. You know, on my end, just disappointing. It was rough to watch only because got into FanDuel, put together two lineups, and with both lineups, I ended up in my wrecks. So, actually, the one, the one lineup, it hurt pretty bad when Austin Dillon and Kyle Larson were knocked out. I thought that I was going to get some decent points and get a little bit of money, not the $100 jackpot that was up there. And then we had the, you know, my other one, I fortunately went with Denny Hamlin, Tyler Reddick, and number 18, the Bush brother, all finishing in the bottom. So that was exciting. At first it was exciting when I saw Daniel Suarez riding up top and Chase Elliott right behind him, and then you guys all know what happened. So that was the excitement of my NASCAR race day Sunday. Didn't catch too much of the you know, spring training baseball. I'm not huge into watching it, so it's, you know, it's like watching preseason for the NFL. It just really has no value to me.